back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. While many of us wonder just how much exercise we really need in order to be healthy and fit, a group of scientists in Canada are turning that issue on its head and asking, how little exercise do we need? Joining us this morning to help us understand their findings and recommendations is our own resident fitness expert, Dr. Carol Sames, the director of the Vitality Program and assistant professor in the College of Health Professions here at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Carol.
Good morning, Linda.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So there were researchers, I guess, in McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario, and they recently gathered several groups of volunteers to test out a new hypothesis. What was their hypothesis?
Well, basically what they wanted to know was, could they use high-intensity intermittent exercise to see some similar changes in fitness and possibly cardiovascular changes that they've seen in highly trained endurance athletes? And so they took individuals that were sedentary, mildly overweight, middle age, and they also took some individuals who had some known cardiovascular disease and basically attempted to see if they could use this new training method to look for these increases.
Let's back up a minute. This high-intensity interval training they call HIIT, I mean for short, is something that many very, very serious athletes engage in.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. This is a known, this is basically interval training. So any endurance athlete has definitely completed interval training as part of their training.
So what exactly is it
to
begin
with? It is from an endurance standpoint, professional type athletes will train at 100% of their maximum heart rate for a short period of time, followed by a short rest period, and then repeat. And what these authors did at McMaster was they said, you know, that's pretty intense for the average individual, especially the average individual who may be sedentary. So can we tone that down? Can we maybe look at 90% of maximum heart rate and have an individual cycle at 90% for 1 minute and then rest 1 minute and repeat that 10 times, essentially being able to get done a block of exercise in 20 minutes.
Wow. So let me back up again about this HIIT. When you say maximum capacity, is that like running full out or bicycling full out at the very, very, you know, fastest you could possibly do? Again, if that, I'm not talking about for the study, I'm talking about in general for these athletes.
Yes, and that's painful type training,
right.
And probably not well suited for the average individual.
But the question here is, has it been shown for these professional athletes, has it been shown to really increase speed and endurance and fitness?
Absolutely. What it really increases is something that we call VO2 max, or maximal oxygen consumption. And when you're looking at performance athletes, that is extraordinarily important.
So it has been proved, it's actually a well-established method of gaining fitness for these people. But
absolutely.
The concept here was, could you then translate that into, you know, Joe Smith? I mean, I'm walking down the street who is not a professional athlete at all.
Correct. So could we somehow tweak it so that the average person, even an average person with some chronic diseases, could they utilize this training? Because at the end of the day, you've got to say, why are 75% of the population not engaging in regular physical activity when we know there's a plethora of benefits? Why are only 25% of the population engaging in activity?
And I'm sure you're going to say the answer
and
is.
And the reason is, I don't have any time.
Right. Exactly. So the concept here, I guess, was to try to figure out a way to shorten the amount of time and maybe in some ways make it a little less, I don't want to say painful, because I don't know that it's necessarily less painful, but psychologically painful to say, I'm going to go to the gym or I'm going to get on my bike and I'm going to sit there for a half an hour every day. Whereas if you think you can kind of get it done quickly, you might be more apt to do it.
Absolutely. And it, you know, it just kind of adds a little spice, you know, it kind of takes that redundancy, which for some individuals, it gets boring after a while. So this gives you like another option. And, you know, you can be done in 25 minutes.
So they took an abbreviated form of this HIIT, which is high intensity interval training. And they did 1 minute of strenuous exercise at about 90%. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
And then they took another minute rest, and they would do that basically 10 times for a total of 20 minutes.
Right.
So that cuts quite a, 10 minutes off, but it's more interesting in a way.
You know, it gives you, you want to do a couple of minute warm up and a couple of minute cool down. So you say 25 minutes. But the nice thing about it is they saw some tremendous improvements.
Yeah, that's so interesting to me. So what exactly did they find?
Well, what they did was they actually had two different groups. They had, middle-aged sedentary individuals that really didn't have any known chronic diseases. And then they had another group that had known cardiovascular disease. That would be the group that you would be concerned about, this type of intensity training.
Yeah, I mean, I would worry somebody would, God forbid, stroke out or have a heart attack.
And what they found was that was not the case at all. They obviously saw increases in fitness. And in fact, those increases in fitness were even more impressive when compared to individuals who do, 30 minutes at a continual pace.
That's very interesting.
Very interesting. They also saw that there was more weight loss with this high-intensity training. They saw some changes, what we call cardiovascular changes or central changes. So blood pressure was reduced. And there was actually, in the cardiovascular disease group, there was some remodeling that occurred. It took a little bit longer, but there was some remodeling of the heart.
What does that mean?
In a positive way.
Yeah, what do you mean?
So the left ventricle was working better. And the left ventricle is essentially the pump that's going to get blood to the body. So that was working better. They also saw that there was increase in insulin use. And so that blood glucose concentration was decreased after exercise, and that lasted longer. There was also some decrease in appetite suppression, which certainly, if I'm attempting...
Increase in appetite suppression.
Well, right.
Yeah.
So that they
less
had,
appetite.
Right. And so that certainly can be beneficial for many individuals.
Wow. Those are incredible findings.
Absolutely. And then there was even some things at the muscle level. Interesting things were that there appeared to be less destruction of muscle cells. And they were looking at individuals that were already middle age, where we'd expect to see a breakdown in muscle cells. And there was less of that in the group that was doing this high-intensity training. So.
That's really incredible, because when you think about it, it's almost like puts to rest or in a way challenges this whole notion of, you can do, if you just do 30 minutes of walking 5 times a day, you're in great, you're doing everything you need to do for fitness. And this is suggesting that you can get so much more bang for your buck, so to speak.
You took the words out of my mouth. It is really about bang for your buck. It's not necessarily going to be for everyone, but certainly it's nice to know that we want to try to get that other 75% of the population that's not active moving. And if this can work, if it can be kind of the spark that will get people moving, then great, fantastic, another tool for us to use.
So let's get back to the idea of how they did it. They did it using a bicycle.
Correct.
So I guess, would that be the preferred method, or would there be other ways to achieve the same results?
Well, as the authors had suggested, and in fact, in a recent review article suggested that there doesn't appear to be any reason why we couldn't use other modalities. So an elliptical, a treadmill, provided that they were safe for the individual that was utilizing them. One of the nice things about a bike is you're on it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to usually worry about stability.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting there, mm-hmm. provided that you have proper form. It's nice from that regard, but an elliptical is lower body also, and would be a treadmill if it was an appropriate activity for somebody.
And would it be walking on a treadmill, or would you have to run?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and the authors kind of weren't really sure. Walking? Probably what you would want to do is you wouldn't want to take people and have them necessarily run unless they really were physically able to run. There's a lot of forces involved in running. What you might do with those walkers on a treadmill is give them a grade. All right, so raise the grade on the treadmill. And that would be another way of adding resistance and making it more challenging without increasing the speed.
So with all of these findings, which to me are really stunning, what do you think that means for the average person in terms of what, either adding this as a potential addition to their workout? Would it be in place of, let's say the average person worked out 3 or 4 times a week doing 25 to 30 minutes of aerobic exercise in some form or another.
Right.
how would you, you know, how would you take that as the specialist? What would you then say to someone in terms of adding this, these findings or making them real for them?
Right. What I would suggest is that we add one day. Start out with a day. See if you like it. You know, certainly what you want, don't want to do with an individual who's already exercising is sabotage that. You know, once somebody gets moving, you want to do everything to foster that continual exercise. So give it a shot. Try it. Do you like it? Does it provide a spark? Do you feel a little bit better? And if somebody says, you know what, I really do enjoy this, then yes, add this type of high-intensity training 2 to 3 times a week to, you know, not in addition to, but eliminating some of your regular aerobic exercise sessions. You're running late. You know, we all have those issues. We map out the time. We say we're going to exercise at this time. Then all of a sudden, there's an issue. You know, life interferes. I now only have 25 minutes. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get bang for my buck. As opposed to saying, I don't have time. I'm going to eliminate it today. So to use it really as a tool. Mm-hmm. Or maybe what I say is, you know what? I realize that the AIDS walk is coming up soon, and I want to try to be able to walk faster than I did last year. And so I'm going to add this high intensity interval training to increase my performance in my 5K walk.
Mm-hmm. And how about the people? I mean, again, this is really kind of the $64,000 question. I'm showing my age by referring to that television show. But the point is, it's the question that everyone asks. How do you get people up off the couch? And you've alluded to it in our conversation that you think something like this might feel like less of a mountain to climb. Do you think, I mean, what would you recommend to someone who is sedentary in terms of this type of stuff?
What you want to do is, the first thing is, you have to convince people and you have to get people to see that change is needed, all right? And that's going to be something that's going to change internally. Unfortunately, for a lot of individuals, it's a bad event. You know, I have chest pain, I go to the hospital, now I've had, you know, a life revelation. You want to convince people that there are so many benefits from being active and that you don't have to start with this high-intensity exercise training. Just get up and move. Go walk to the mailbox. Move around your house. Get yourself moving, because you're going to feel benefits. The beautiful thing with this is you don't need a money-back guarantee. It's physiology. It will happen. So you just want to convince people that moving is good. You will feel better. And once you get to the point where you can move, this might be a tool that can help sustain that movement.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that it doesn't take as much time is also, I think, a really big, you know, kind of bonus.
Absolutely. The number one excuse why people do not exercise is, I don't have time.
Right. So, do you think there are any issues as far as contraindications or, you know, safety precautions if people were, let's say somebody who has been sedentary decides, I'm going to try this on a bike. Do you think it's important that they do some, you know, check with their doctor first?
Absolutely, check with their doctor. And if they were coming to the Vitality program, we would want them to engage in 3 to 4 weeks of just aerobic activity first, just to get the musculoskeletal system used to moving before we do the higher intensity type training. You know, individuals that have chronic osteoarthritis or fibromyalgia, this type of training might not work for them. You know, we might want to do this in a pool, for instance, where there's less force on the joints. So, you know, everybody's different, but this certainly holds tremendous promise for those of us who use the excuse, I don't have enough time.
Do you think that, is it something that you might try yourself? I mean,
I do this. I actually do this on an elliptical because I get bored of the old 1 hour on the elliptical.
Yeah.
You know, it's just mentally frying. Yeah. So this for me is a way of saying, you know what, I got 30 minutes. And I will tell you, it absolutely does increase my performance. And I can tell you it really works as an appetite suppressant too.
It's fantastic. Well, great advice as always, and very interesting findings. And we'll see what comes of it. But thank you so very much for coming in and sharing your information with us. My guest has been Dr. Carol Sames, director of the Vitality Program and assistant professor in the College of Health Professions. We'll be right back right after this short break.